Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CT Web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. It's that time of year again, time for the dreaded annual review of your employees. Now, for many, performing an annual appraisal on one's employees is just one or two notches below going to the dentist. However, properly designed and implemented appraisals are really an opportunity to review past performance, set future goals, and to provide positive steps for achieving those goals. Well-executed appraisals will improve employee performance, resulting in a more efficient company with increased profitability. The question is always, how do I do appraisals proper so they really are effective? Now, this month, Bill Rep will provide all the tools you need to make your performance appraisals very effective. Bill is president of Working Best, a marketing communications firm in Victor, New York. He helps clients increase sales and build their business through advertising, publicity, public relations, customer letters, and employee training manuals. For 11 years, Bill taught week-long management leadership programs for Xerox, more than 400 companies, including Birdseye, Best Foods, Kodak, Xerox, and Honda have sent employees to his programs. Bill has also taught courses in writing and business at Rochester Institute of Technology and currently writes a weekly newspaper column, Working Best, published nationally. Prentice Hall published Bill's first book, Complete Handbook of Business English, as well as Why Give It Away When You Can Sell It, and How to Develop Your Business by Telephone. Bill has published more than 80 articles in publications such as AMA Management Review, The Toastmaster, Supervisory Management, Personnel Journal, and 2020 Magazine. He also appeared weekly on PM Magazine in Rochester as the PM Magazine Tightwad and was noted in USA Today and Reader's Digest for his unique approach to time management. Bill has a BA in English and an MA in Education and is a member of the Society of American Magicians. Bill's presentation on providing painless performance appraisals will be both timely and profitable. Now grab a pad and pencil so you can take notes on how to improve your next employee appraisal.
Hello, my name is Bill Rep, and I'm going to talk to you today about how to make performance appraisals as painless as possible. You know, there are really three essentials of really effective performance management, and that is recognizing that the manager is responsible for the effective use of people and has a responsibility for helping them improve. And it's the same way with the contractors. It's your responsibility to have your people whom you're hiring to perform at their best. And we want to establish a foundation for a successful employee-manager relationship by setting mutually understood and standards they both agree on. And finally, we want to understand that you use the key principles of learning and the basic skills of performance management. Now, it's important to understand that this performance management relationship is continuous. It just doesn't happen once or twice a year. It happens every day. So the cycle begins with a job description that's clear, setting goals, and the development of action steps to reach those goals. It continues with ongoing performance management, providing for the improvement, the formal performance appraisal process. And the cycle is complete when the employee and the manager then return to setting new goals. Performance management becomes a way of managing. It's a way of leading. Its purpose is not to succeed once, but rather to help people perfect the knowledge, the skills, and the attitudes they need to face ever-changing situations in this dynamic and unending game of business. So let's talk about some principles of effective performance management. First, the employee really has to understand the performance standards and accept them. If the employee doesn't accept them, there's no coaching because there's no common bond there. And just complying with a standard isn't behavior improvement. One is accountability. That's the minimum expectation. But the other is commitment. And what we want is commitment. And there has to be a climate of confidence. The employee has to respect the supervisor's integrity and capability as a leader. And the supervisor must respect the employee's integrity and have confidence in their ability to do the job. Both the supervisor and the employee must agree on the goals of the relationship. An employee really has to be approved as a person. If he or she must feel respected for their honesty, courage, and ability. If the employee feels that the boss or the contractor doesn't respect them, nothing's going to happen. And the supervisor must motivate the employee to respond to the coaching. Employees have to see a benefit for themselves in the action suggestion. Otherwise, why would they do it? Because they're always saying, what's in it for me? Why should I do this? Other than keeping your job. And that's really kind of a poor motivation. The employee must feel that the coaching will satisfy a personal need. He or she must be psychologically ready to accept it. Any learning that is simply imposed on someone really won't last. So coaching has to tackle the employee's real problems, not just their symptoms. And employees have to take responsibility for their own growth. They have to take an active part in the process. You know, there are people who don't want to grow. They reach a point in their life, and that's the way they are for the rest of their lives. This employee probably is not a candidate for performance coaching because they've decided they're not going to change. So maybe you need to get another employee. The employee has to see the process as a joint project that will diagnose the problems, consider alternate solutions, and develop workable ways in dealing with them. And there's no learning will take place unless the employee changes behavior, improves skills, and accepts the new ideas. If there's no change in behavior, there's no growth. So to determine the value of learning, the supervisor has to follow up. The supervisor's feedback on the performance should be as quick and supportive as possible. Emphasize successes. They must clearly outnumber the failures. And the employee must experience real progress toward increased competence. Okay, so what's a good appraisal system? It's one that requires periodic judgment in a systematic fashion, not just something you throw together once or twice a year. But it's a formal process, and it should help ongoing reviews of expectations and performance in connection with those expectations. And the judgment should be made on categories of skill decided in advance, so that both the boss and the employee have to agree on these are the skills and these are the things they're going to be measured on. And the appraisal provides simply a means for addressing an individual's performance against what they've already established in those expectations. And the communication between the supervisor and the worker has to be honest and open. So, a good appraisal characteristic or a good appraisal program has several characteristics. First, there must be clear aims and purposes. Both the supervisor and the employee need to know, what are we trying to accomplish and where are we going? It's got to have top management support, because if the boss's boss doesn't approve this, nothing's going to happen. The appraisal should be in writing, just like the goals should be in writing. And it should be conducted regularly, probably monthly anyway. Actually, ongoing appraisal takes place every day. When you say, John, try to do this a little bit different, lift this way, not that way. But it provides appropriate feedback to employees, and it allows enough time for managers to complete the appraisals and managers' employees' time to discuss the results. I mean, sometimes you hear managers say, well, I've got 30 appraisals to do, and I'm going to get 15 minutes each, and I should be done in 3 hours. That's not a good way to do an appraisal system. At the very least, a yearly appraisal system should take 1 to 2 hours with that employee. We're going to talk more about the percentage of good information or how to praise that employee and how to criticize performance and what the ratio ought to be. So sometimes we have to train the praisers on what to rate and how to rate, but everybody should understand the process. Now, when things are not going well, you have to take corrective action. So that's part of the appraisal process, and it's something that you'll write up later on. Remember, we're talking about how to make the performance appraisal as painless as possible. So if the corrections are being given a little at a time, they're a lot better and a lot easier to take than one great big grand slam and bring somebody in and just lay them out on the floor. That doesn't work. So here's some things to do when you take corrective action. Be firm, but fair. Everybody gets the same treatment. Be firm doesn't mean mean, but firm, clear. This is the way it has to be. Don't waffle. Well, maybe we should do it, maybe we shouldn't. You say, you have to do it this way. And be consistent. You have to follow the same process with all employees. Now, you don't do it with some employees and not with others. or you don't do some of the expectation with some employees, and then let some of your favorites get away with it. That won't go. You need to be reasonable and take circumstances into account and distinguish one situation from another, even as you distinguish one person from another. We're all different. So we have to be balanced here and say, is this the right thing to do at the right time with this person? We want to encourage the best performance through guidance and sound leadership. We want to be thorough in maintaining records. I suggest that you, if you don't have a day planner with you, or a Palm Pilot or something like that, carry around 3x5 cards. Catch the employee doing something right. That's your first thing, so you can praise them, because we want to talk about praise and criticism in a 4-to-1 ratio. We're going to talk more about that. But in your dealings with the employee, they should get 4 pluses from you for every minus. So catch them doing something right, and when you catch them doing something wrong, write it down with a date. What did you see? Who else saw? What happened as a result? So you can go back and track it on a permanent record. So by when you have to do the appraisal at the end of the year or at the end of the quarter, you've got facts on your hands, and you've got good records to keep. Now, don't trust your memory. So use those records to stimulate positive action before you apply any discipline. This way you're able to treat it pretty objectively. Take constructive action when there's signs of difficulty, maybe such as alcoholism, gambling, absenteeism, or conflicts on the job. When they start to appear, you've got to take action. And treat people as you'd like to be treated. Now that's really important. If you were calling somebody in your office, how would you treat them? Imagine that you had the problem and your boss was calling you. How would you want to be treated? That's how you should treat the employees. Now, here are some don'ts for corrective action. Don't abdicate your responsibility by figuring it's too much trouble or you don't agree with the state of company approach. And don't be legalist and technical applying the rules. You know, sometimes we say, the letter killeth, the spirit keepeth alive. So you look at the rules, we don't want to bend them so much, but we want to say, let's take a look at the spirit of this thing and treat the people as human beings. Don't rely on punishment or threats as prime motivators. They don't work. And don't stand by and watch people deteriorate, do nothing. You have to do something. That's your job as a contractor or a supervisor. Don't become so ego-involved that you can't save face. In other words, it's more to be able to say, I made a mistake, or maybe I took the wrong approach. Don't make commitments or take positions when you're mostly involved. If you feel angry or upset or frustrated or stressed with a situation, wait till you're calm, because if you try to correct this employee's actions or do some important performance appraisal when you're upset, you're just going to make it worse because your anger is going to show. And the employee won't see you as a coach, but an angry person who's out to get them. Okay, and don't let your personal biases dominate your reaction to individuals. Focus on only the actions that apply to the job. The fact that maybe a man wears a crazy-looking ties, or maybe doesn't polish shoes well enough, or a woman has got fingernails that are too long and clicking across the board, if they don't affect the job performance, that's not something you should be talking about. Deal only with things that affect the job. So let's talk about different kinds of feedback we give to people. There are basically four kinds, silence, criticism, advice, and reinforcement. Let's talk about each one. When we use silence, we don't provide any response at all. We just stay there. We just don't say anything. And the purpose is to just keep things as the way they are. But the trouble is, this decreases confidence in performance because we don't correct the action. And it creates surprises during performance appraisal because we're quiet all year long. And when they walk in, boy, bang, we hit them with all this stuff. So it can create paranoia because the employee says, boy, am I going to get it. What's he going to tell me now? Because he didn't hear about it regularly. So silence is not good. Next is criticism. Here we identify behaviors and results that were undesirable or not up to standard. And you say things like, you did a poor job running that meeting this morning. And the purpose is supposedly to stop undesirable behaviors and results. But the problem is this generates excuses and defensive behavior, and people start to blame other people because people want to protect themselves. And it tends to eliminate other related behaviors. So, for example, if the person didn't do a job running a good meeting, maybe the problem is not only facilitation for the meeting, but poor handling, poor people skills, poor self-image, anger. It could be a whole bunch of things, and they all have to be treated as part of this problem. So when you're critical, it decreases confidence in the person and it hurts the relationship. After a while, the person says, why bother? I'm going to get dumped on anyway. And it leads to escape and avoidance. So criticism doesn't work either. The next one sounds good, but it can be a trap. And that is advice. So you identify behaviors or results that are highly regarded, and often you often specify how to use them even more. For example, remember to talk to Sue and include her ideas in the final report so the report is complete and up to date. The purpose is to change or shape behavior results to increase performance. Now, it does improve confidence because you're obviously supporting the person. It can improve a performance and it can increase performance. But it's still lacking something. But I really want to talk to you about reinforcement. As like Ken Blanchard says, catch them doing something right. So when you reinforce behavior, you identify behaviors or results that you want, that are desired. Either they're up to or exceeding the standards. For example, the format of this report will make my job a lot easier. Thank you for taking the time to structure it this way. So the purpose is to increase desired performance results, and it does increase confidence and increases performance and increases motivation. So the ideal way to give performance appraisals, make it painless, is to use reinforcement. In other words, catch them doing something right. And as soon as you see that, tell them that. Now, managers often have difficulty doing this because we're kind of say, well, why should I do that when I'm complimenting them? They're supposed to be doing it anyway. That's their job. I shouldn't have to tell them. Well, what you comment and praise on, you're going to get more of. And sometimes when managers focus on the negative aspects, employees are so used to the negative, they just get used to it and say, well, here I am, I'm going to get it again. So I would encourage you to change your model and look for opportunities to praise performance. So use reinforcement. I mean, for example, it's kind of test whether it's working for you or not. Imagine if you were to say to an employee, listen, when you get a chance, would you drop by my office around 10 o'clock tomorrow? There are a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Now, how is that employee likely to react? If you've been in the habit of using this 4-to-1 ratio of positive to negative, that employee's going to be pleased because he's going to say, hey, this is great, I'm going to get praised again. So generally, the reaction should be positive. But you know as well as I do that probably 9 out of 10 times, if you say that to an employee, hey, when you get a chance, to drop by my office tomorrow around 10 o'clock, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. They think they're going to get hit because they're used to it. So if that's the reaction, then you can be pretty sure that you're really establishing a negative environment. So the only time that you can be sure that people are going to be happy to come and see you is when they're used to hearing you praise them. And that's what reinforcement is all about. And again, we want to do it in a 4-to-1 ratio. 4 plus is very minus. So let's take a few minutes to talk about how to give effective feedback while the employees in your office, or even if you're walking out of the job and talking to them when you see something that needs to be looked at. Make the performance, the feedback, specifically related to the behavior. Here's good feedback. Henry, you've been 15 minutes late for the last 3 mornings. Can you tell me why? That's good feedback. Describes it in time. Late 15 minutes, please explain why. Describes the behavior. Here's bad feedback. Henry, you are lazy and have a poor attitude toward your job. Now, it's all negative. You may not say it that negatively, but say, Henry, when are you going to get your act together and get here on time? It's the same negative aspect. So we want to talk about behavior. Here's what you've been doing for the last 3 mornings. Please tell me why. Is there a problem? Good feedback and bad feedback. So here's good feedback. Consider your timing, either before the event, when it's typically a form of advice, or after, when we consider it as positive feedback. Here's good advice. Sally, I'd like to review the contents of your presentation with you before your speech next week so you can really do a good job in front of the group. Now, it's bad if you say, Sally, because you've done such a poor job in the past, I need to preview the speech you plan on giving next week. Now, you might say, well, I'm never going to say it that badly, but sometimes we come close to it. Here's another example of good feedback. Sally, you did an outstanding job in organizing your presentation for the meeting. The speech was well-researched and logical. It's bad when you say, Sally, good speech last week. Keep up the good work. Now, that's positive, but we didn't give her enough information. Why was it a good speech? What did she do that was helpful? So, yes, it's positive, but there's not enough there. Okay, next, consider the needs of the person receiving the feedback as well as your own. Ask yourself, what will he or she get out of the information? Are you dumping or generally trying to improve the performance of the relationship? Here's some good feedback. Sue, I know how important it is for you to get the newsletter just right and recognize, and I know you're under a lot of pressure right now. I'll help you edit it this time, but I want you to take that editing class so you can handle it solo in the future. Here's bad advice. Sue, you always need help with the newsletter. It's not my responsibility. Don't you think it's about time you learned how to edit the newsletter? See how negative that is? Another principle is focus on behavior the receiver can do something about. Here, Sam, this is good feedback. Sam, we would appreciate your keeping the team informed about the status of the project. See, Sam hasn't been doing that. Here's bad feedback. Sam, why are you so introverted that you don't like to talk to other people? First of all, Sam will always be introverted. That's a personality style. But even introverted people can keep people informed. So the behavior is not that he's introverted, but he's not keeping people informed. So focus on the behavior that can be changed. And you want to solicit feedback rather than pose it. So you ask questions. For example, Linda, did you say you would like to learn how to handle your most difficult customer effectively? Well, here are some things that have worked for me. Here's bad feedback. Linda, I saw the way you handled Mrs. Jones during the crisis. It really stinks. You got to do something about that. Nothing's going to happen with that except you've alienated yourself from the employee. Okay, next one. Avoid labels and judgments by describing rather than evaluating the behavior. In other words, when you say you came to work 15 minutes late rather than you got a lousy attitude. Here's good feedback. Steve, I've given you 5 chances to attend training programs in the last year, and you haven't enrolled yet. Is there a problem? See, I'm evaluating behavior, and I'm describing the behavior rather than not evaluating it, and I'm saying, what's the problem? So it's kind of a give and take. But if I really want to be negative, I say, Steve, you appear to be lazy about improving your skills. You seem to care about your career. Why not? Why haven't you been going to these meetings? Don't you want to get any better? So you're going to hit him and hit him over and over again. Next, define the impact on you and the team and the department, the company. Here's good feedback. Sarah, when you don't get your report to me on time, I can't get my report to my boss on time. This slows up decisions about the resources we need for the next month. It's bad if you say, Sue, can't you ever get your reports to me on time? Your anger is showing, and that's not helpful. Here's another one. Use I statements as opposed to you statements. In other words, tell people how you feel, how it's affecting you, not telling the other person what they should be doing. For example, Tim, when you play your radio in the work area, I lose my concentration. Would you mind turning it off during regular work hours? So I'm saying how it affects me. Instead of saying, Tim, you are so inconsiderate of other people when you leave your radio on. Here's another one. Make sure that the communication has been clear. So, Mary, do you know the importance of recording all my phone messages? Can you explain it to me so I know you understand? Now, this is where you ask feedback. One of the worst things you could say to people is, do you understand? They're always going to say yes. And the fact is, they probably don't. And under the very best conditions, they will have missed 10% of the information. We know that's going to happen. So, make sure that answer feedback. So, would you tell me what you heard me say, please? And if they say, well, what do you think, I'm stupid? No. It just is sometimes when I get involved or get excited about something, I kind of forget, and I'm not sure that I communicate as well as I wanted to. And that's why I need you to tell me what you heard me say to make sure that I've been clear. So that's the I statement again. And you want to give feedback in a calm, unemotional language, tone, body language. You don't have your fists clenched. You don't have your face raised. You're not shouting at them. So you say, Joe, I'm sure your progress will be much faster now that you are clear on how to use this new machinery, rather than, hey, Joe, isn't it about time you improve your production with this machine? So negative, positive. So some key ideas for any feedback. Positive reinforcement is the most effective. I mean, think about some of the people you've had in your life who are really helpful. Parents, teachers, clergy, they were not negative people. They're always telling you the good things about what you could do and help. And when they said how you can improve, they're always very helpful. It was clear they were not your enemy, but your friend. They cared about you. So positive reinforcement is the most effective. Criticism is the least effective. It overpowers all other feedback. So when we criticize people, they get defensive and they turn off all further learning. And oftentimes the difference between criticism and advice is in the timing. So ask yourself, is this the right time? Also be careful when positive and negative feedback is mixed. The impact is diluted. We used to tell people, we'll use the cookie technique. You have a positive, then you give them a negative, end up with a positive. That really is not very good advice because the employee's not quite sure what you're saying. The employee's confused and doesn't know what to do. So stay focused on the purpose of the meeting. If the purpose of the meeting is to praise the employee, great, praise the employee. But if the purpose is to say to the employee, you have some things we need to correct here, let's talk about it, then there's no question in the employee's mind why they're there and what you have to do. And silence is not always golden. It can be interpreted in a variety of ways. If you don't say anything, the employee says, well, things must be going okay. The boss didn't say anything. So always say something. Now, let's talk about how to praise and correct performance. Now, you want to praise performance when the work is exceeding the standard, the employee's done a really superb job, better than you expected, or maybe when they consistently do a good job, or maybe they finally done a good job when they haven't been doing it. So, I mean, this is more than just an attaboy or attagirl. This is a four-step technique that works really well. And you bring the person to the office, and by the way, you don't do this more than two or three times a year, because if you do it too often, then the employee kind of loses credibility. The employee says, well, here we go again. Must have been in a training program. So you make a general reference to the performance you like. Joe, I like the way you handled that meeting this morning. Okay? Now I'll give specific examples. For example, the second step is specific examples. So, for example, you called a meeting to order on time. You had an agenda that everybody followed. You asked for people's advice. You had a timekeeper. And so you write down the line with specific things that he did to run that meeting well. And now, third step, you mention a few personal qualities. Now, this is kind of hard to do because this is where you look the person right in the eye and you say, you know, Joe, that's something I really admire about you. You do things carefully. You take the time to plan thoroughly so the job comes out right. See, so we were talking about the meeting, that's general reference. Then we backed it up with specific examples. And now we're talking about some personal qualities. I mean, you begin to see the intensity of this praising, and finally, you show the resulting benefits. And Joe, because of that, everybody said they got a lot out of the meeting. There were action steps that were agreed to, and we can move forward. And because of that, I know we're going to accomplish our goals better this month than we did last month. So, again, make a general reference, give specific examples, mention a few personal qualities, and then show the resulting benefits. It's a great model. Now, what happens when you have to correct performance? You do when you want to change someone's behavior, someone's performance. First of all, you show the merits. So let's use the meeting. Joe, you did a good job in the meeting this morning in that there was you had an agenda and you started the meeting on time. Now, don't do much more than that. Then go right to your concerns because he needs to know this is a meeting, clearly, to improve his meeting skills. So you show the merits. Now you specify your concerns. And don't say but, because as soon as you say but, they stop listening. So say either nothing or say at the same time. So let's start again. Joe, you did a good job of the meeting this morning. You started on time and you had a good agenda. At the same time, I've got some concerns of the way you handle people. I noticed that you were short. When Sue wanted to raise her hand, you kind of waved her and told her to put her hand down. And when Joe said he wanted to say something, you said, hold that, please. We'll get to you later. And you never got back to people. So what I'm saying is you were harsh with people. So, yeah, it's good to have an agenda and organize the meeting, start it on time, but we want to run a facilitative meeting. You've got to keep people on your side, and you can't bowl people over and be a control freak at the meeting. So what I'd like to do is I want you to continue to start the meetings on time. I want you to have a good agenda, but let's talk about what we can do to eliminate my concerns. So here you invite or make suggestions. You say, Joe, well, what do you think you can do to treat people better? Now, if Joe's really concerned about helping people or getting better, he's going to say, well, maybe I should smile when I say things and ask questions. So you keep asking, well, what else do you think that would work? Yeah, what else? So try to get Joe to make the suggestion. But if he doesn't, he's stubborn, or maybe he's not very bright, he doesn't know what to do, then you have to say, well, Joe, what do you think it would happen if you smiled when you talk to people? How would it be if you said, well, Mary, what do you think? Or if Mary wants to interrupt you, say, Mary, I'm wondering, could you just hold that for a few minutes until we finish the topic? So be more gentle that. Do you think that would help? So you give or invite their reactions. But if you impose behaviors, look, here's what I want you to do. The next time you hold that meeting, when somebody raises their hand, I want you to say, I'll get to you later. Or tell them. When you tell them what to do, you're probably not going to get it. But you ask them for suggestions so they get involved in the problem solving. You're going to get more out of it. And then summarize the suggestions you've agreed to. So let me go over the four steps for performance. Criticize your performance. You specify the merits, show your concerns, identify ways to retain merits, eliminate concerns, and then you summarize. So here's the summary. Joe, let me summarize what we talked to today. I told you that I thought you did a good job starting the meeting on time and having an agenda. At the same time, I expressed concern that you were a little harsh with people and were a little impolite. And after talking about it, you've suggested and agreed that maybe one way to do this better would be more gentle and polite with people, be a little more slow when you talk to people, smile more, ask questions rather than make statements. So I think that's a good idea. Let's try this for a week or two. I'd like you to run the next meeting, see how you do, and then I'll give you feedback then. Okay? So those are four steps. Now, in general, when you're addressing any performance issues, there are some steps that you want to do to carry on this performance appraisal process. First of all, you need to define the problem. You will quietly, without emotion, at your desk, write down the problem and put it in a sentence. Spell out the behavior problem. Bob is late about 3 days a week. He's done this for the past 4 weeks. When you write it out, you put numbers on it, you know where you're going. Then set a date to meet. So you say, Bob, I need to talk to you in a couple days about your performance and your tardiness. When can we meet? How about Tuesday, 10 o'clock? Now, here's a trap. Don't. He's going to start talking about it and getting defensive. Bob, I don't want to talk about it now. Come to my office next Thursday at 2:30. If he says, well, tell me more about it. Well, just I thought about a few things. Now, if you have to say, well, it's about your attendance, but don't discuss the problem. You want to do it on your terms, not the employee's terms. So sometimes you may want to say, well, just a few things I want to talk about. If he's the kind of person who gets really defensive, but if he really wants to do it, you can say, well, it's about the attendance problem. We're not going to discuss it now. See you Thursday at 2:30. That's going to give him time to think about it. Now, when he's in the office, you state your problem. Tell him how his behavior causes a problem for you. Bob, I can't get my work done or complete my goals when my people aren't here on time. Ask for the reason. Can you tell me why you have this problem? Next, negotiate a settlement or ask for new behavior and try to be helpful without lowering your standards. Be flexible if you can, perhaps maybe allowing him to come in at 8:15, maybe to accommodate a babysitter. Bob, I'd like you to be just every morning at 8:15. We're going to accommodate you, but you have to be there at 8:15. Then ask for a replay. Don't assume the employee heard you correctly. So you put that puts a burden on you. So you say, Bob, just to make sure I communicated clearly, Bob, will you tell me what I'm asking you to do? And then you ask for the commitment. Bob, can I count on you to be at your desk at least by 8:50 each morning? I mean, there's no place to hide here. And then plan for follow-up. Bob, let's meet here again in 2 weeks at 2:30 on Thursday to see how this is working. So he knows he's got to be accountable. He knows you're going to follow up. And he knows he better change behavior because you're going to be watching. Okay? Now, in your writing the appraisal, try to use action words instead of saying, well, he handled it okay. Try to use words like, and you can get this out of thesaurus, or go to a dictionary, but a thesaurus would be helpful. Look under manage, under a thesaurus, or go to your computer and look under Merriam-Webster for similar words. And so instead of saying manage, you could say administer, analyze, arrange, assure, collaborate, develop, examine, expedite, facilitate. See how many words there are? Observe, participate, search. And then there are some other apps. Once you get, let's say, like investigate, you'll check under that and you get more specific words. Words like assign, authorize, calculate, determine. I mean, I'm not going to read them all. I've got close to 200 words here in front of me here. But you can get them all through any kind of thesaurus that you've got. And the computer is a great way to do it. Merriam-Webster is a great source for getting similar words. Other action words like request, review, revise, schedule, scrutinize, secure, select, separate, study, summarize, tabulate. And then when you want to describe behavior, good or bad behavior, use words that are specific, like dominant, curious, energetic, enthusiastic, agreeable, adaptable, independent, disciplined, imaginative, painstaking, persistent, thorough. Notice how positive they are, by the way. Loyal, quiet, and genius. And you can get a lot more in there. As I say, look for a thesaurus so that you can get words that are really descriptive. And now you want to write the appraisal. Consider the appraisal write-up as a roadmap. I mean, this is a permanent record, and it's a clear plan for the employee's development. And when it's clear and well-prepared, the session has a good chance of going well. Yet the write-up is not clear or is inconsistent and may cause problems, even if the rating itself is seen as fair. So keep your write-up results oriented to reduce the likelihood of their becoming so resentful of your criticism they won't even hear it. So try to describe favorable results in terms of standards. Don't just say, John did a fine job, but rather, John's careful planning and skillful dealing with technical problems helped him to exceed the expected delivery date by 3 weeks. And remember to include both praise and criticism. Remember, and also idea 4-1. Let me say this again. I'm going to assume that the employee that you're praising has got only, they're doing 80% of what he or she is doing well, and only 20% needs to be changed. That's not a 4-1 ratio. So on that basis, if you're going to have appraisal for an hour and 12-minute segments, 5 times 12 is 60. So that means for 48 minutes, you should be praising that employee for his or her good performance and only 12 minutes for what they need to change. Now, that's probably pretty strange behavior. You haven't heard that before. But that's really what it's all about. Because if this employee comes in and it gets 48 minutes of praise, the 12 minutes of criticism is going to go down a lot more easily. So include both praise and criticism. Don't just say, John's planning was excellent, but, and then follow with 30 seconds explaining why only a criticism. So support both the praise and the criticism. Avoid personal criticism. Don't say John was overly aggressive. You might say John's eagerness to accomplish results showed little concern for the feelings of other groups. Their resentment led to foot dragging, which contributed to missed target dates. You relate the behavior to its consequences. If behavior had no adverse impact on results, it is irrelevant to the appraisal. And don't give advice. Don't say, John must learn to work harmoniously with others. I mean, that's something like that you give a kid in school, which is not very good anyway, but they're not specific. So describe the behavior you'd like to see. I would like to see John take the initiative in helping others when their workload is larger than his. That's specific. So in terms of understanding the appraisal meeting, share your agenda in advance. Say, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about attendance, your handling of meetings. So it gives the employee to be a participant in it. And schedule a meeting to be closed door. You don't go up to somebody's machine and start giving a performance appraisal. But they need to have office, conference room, where things can be quiet and private. And you go in the meeting with a positive attitude. So you want to try to be relaxed and at ease. It's going to help the employee feel that way. And use the same time ratio of praise to criticism. Again, if the employee is only 20% negative, then 48 minutes should be positive. Invite the employee to talk. What does he or she see as their work goals? To what extent do they feel they're realizing these goals? What, if anything, is stopping the person from reaching these goals? Is it personal? Is it something in the company, the organization? Is it both? Is it neither? What's stopping this employee from performing at his or her best? And what changes could be made, personally or organizationally? Share the information you have. Use open questions and reflexive content. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Open questions start with, how did this happen? When did it happen? Why did it happen? And how do you feel about? Use reflective questions. And then summarize the performance review. You said this, I share this, what do you think we should go from here? And then get buy-in from the employees. So set goals and be very specific. And be available for clarification later. The employee later may want to talk further about it. So let's talk about the kinds of questions you ask. Open, close. When an employee comes to a performance review, the interviewer must stay out of the way to find out how the employee sees the situation. So use open questions. These are questions that don't require or allow a yes or no answer. Could you tell me a little bit of how you see your job, or how or what are you feeling about your job? A closed question is, do you like your job? Do you like your coworkers? So use open-ended questions to begin the interview to get the employee to elaborate on a point. Could you tell me more about that? How did it feel when that happened? Can you tell me why you did that? And try to list examples of specific behaviors so you can better understand what the employee is describing. Will you give me a specific example? What does it mean when you say your coworkers don't understand you? And clarify any confusions. I'm a little confused about the way you described your conflict with other people. Can you clarify that for me? And open questions often begin with how, what, could, can, will. And closed questions that begin with, are you going to do this? What happened then? When did it happen? Where? Why? Who? A closed question is helpful when there's emotional stress that prevents clear thinking, or the situation demands emotional relief for the employee. The problem and its cause are not readily identifiable. The person is likely to resent being told or advised what to do. Or the supervisor isn't sure about what advice or solution he should offer. And the supervisor feels that the immediate problem is only a symptom of something that's more deeply. So, closed question, yes, no, what hit, did you do this, didn't you do that? So, let's finish up with a kind of a performance appraisal checklist to help you make sure that you do everything. So, before the performance appraisal meeting, give the employees enough notice that the appraisal meeting is coming up so that he or she can get ready to ask questions or make statements about what they want to do. And ask him or her to be prepared to appraise their own performance. Say, look, why don't you write your own performance appraisal, and then we'll see how you see it as compared to how I see it. Tell the employees that the purpose of the meeting will be to help them improve the performance of the job, which is really what it's supposed to be anyway. And review the appraisal. Have you objectively appraised the employee's job performance? In other words, you go over what you've written down. Have you focused on the employee's job performance, not areas of the personality that don't affect the job performance? And schedule the meeting behind closed doors. Now, during the appraisal meeting, make sure there's plenty of opportunity for the employee to raise questions and make comments. So you might have to schedule 1 to 2 hours to do this. Ask open-ended questions, as the employee for their self-appraisal in areas, specific areas of responsibility, because they probably know what they're doing better than you do, and then clarify the employee's responsibilities and areas of authority. Discuss any areas that need improvement. First, ask the employee, how do they think they can improve? Say, John, well, what do you think you can do better? What do you think is going wrong? Or what would you like to improve? In other words, this puts the burden back on the employee for the growth. Then you may want to put together with the employee a specific action for the improvement. Summarize performance review. We talked about this, 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 and you've agreed to do this, this, and this, and we're going to follow up, and I'm going to monitor. And then give the employee a pretty clear idea what will happen next regarding improvement in the performance. Tell them what to say. Look, if you improve your performance, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be eligible for the pay raise that we talked about, more responsibility. I'll be monitoring your performance less often. If you're not doing it, then we're going to have to do performance appraisals more often. And if you don't correct this, it could lead to a disciplinary procedure that I don't want to happen. But let the employee know this is what's going to happen. So there's a pretty good format for performance appraisals. I hope you found it helpful. And remember, keep the performance appraisal in a balance of praise to criticism of 4-to-1. Keep that model 4-to-1 in your mind, and you're going to have a good, painless performance appraisal every time you give. Thanks for listening.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. If you're serious about profitable growth, you might want to consider attending one of our 3-day basic business boot camps. Check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or call us at 1-800-432-7963 for a current listing of dates and locations. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.